Our scripture this morning comes from Ephesians, and I'm very grateful to Oscar for reading it for us.
God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown and measured by the standards of fullness of Christ. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by everyone that comes from teaching the deceitful scheming and tricks people play and deliberately mislead others instead of speaking the truth with love. Let's grow in every way into Christ, Him who is the head. The whole body grows from Him as it is joined to, held together by all the supporting ligaments in the body, makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love as each one does a part. God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown and measured by the standards of fullness of Christ. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by everyone that comes from teaching the deceitful.
We are still figuring out how to turn off the auto replay version. But if you're going to hear something more than once, the good book is the thing to hear repeated. I'm not going to lie. We begin this morning with three stories. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful human. This beautiful human was living a perpetual quest, trying to get through each and every day. 'Twas not an easy quest getting through each and every day. It was filled with challenge and sometimes even danger. You see, getting through each and every day required wisdom and patience and perseverance. And to make everything even just a little bit more complicated, this beautiful human did not live in isolation. No, no. Making the challenges of life even harder, this beautiful human had to complete their quest of making it through each and every day surrounded by other humans. Some of these other humans were incredibly and actively difficult. Some were just unintentionally frustrating. And thankfully, there were a few that seemed to be supportive and helpful of our beautiful human's journey. But even they sometimes would be less than helpful or occasionally just annoying. This beautiful human awoke each day and had to navigate all of these other humans as they continued their seemingly endless quest of making it through the day. Thus endeth story one. Story number two. Once upon a time, there was an ogre, a grumpy, green, mud-bathing ogre. He lived alone in a swamp, and everything was quite pleasant for him as it was, until one day a heartless, selfish prince began rounding up random fairy tale creatures that lived in the land. This heartless prince relocated all of the fairy tale creatures, from the three bears to Pinocchio, from the three blind mice to the big bad wolf, and relocated them right into the ogre's swamp. So much for personal space. His home was his no more. And if there's one thing an ogre can't handle, it is a lack of personal space. So the ogre goes to confront this awful prince, who offers him a trade. If the ogre will fetch a princess, he can have his swamp back. So the ogre begins a quest to retrieve a fairy tale princess for this heartless prince so he can get his front lawn back. To add to the entertainment of the journey, somehow the ogre ends up with a talking donkey to accompany him. Now, I will say, if anyone knows how great it is to have a talking donkey accompany you through things, it's me. Talking donkeys are the best. Now, they reach this. The ogre and the donkey, they eventually find the princess. They defeat a dragon. They begin to take the princess back to the castle to meet the prince. However, said fairy tale princess is none too impressed. She was expecting a prince charming, and instead she got an ogre. She was expecting love's true kiss, and instead she was told to start walking. She speaks in fairy tale platitudes of what should be and how it's supposed to be for her as a princess. And the ogre is unimpressed. Their journey, the basis of the movie, as night begins to fall on this journey, the princess seems to become more and more agitated and finally just withdraws into hiding. It's here that we will step away from story two. Now the third story. Once upon a time in Ephesus, there was a group of people trying to live like Jesus. For all of the effort in their quest to live lives of love, acceptance, justice, and hope, they struggled. And those struggles turned to strife in their relationships and community. It turned out, and who would have seen this coming, that living like Jesus wasn't as easy as they thought it was going to be. It turned out you had to do more than just say, I love Jesus, and call it a day. You had to change how you lived and how you treated other people. And this turns out to be rather complicated. They were actually going to have to love like Jesus, which was really difficult. So, one of their heroes wrote them a letter in which he reminded them that they were all in process. Living like Jesus is a journey and God is working on you. Yes, the hero reminded them in the letter that God was working in them and on them, and that the Spirit of the divine would not abandon them, but would help them grow. Now, in this letter, he offered wisdom. Hear these words again from Ephesians. We aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes. Instead, by speaking the truth with love, let us grow in every way into Christ. Thus endeth the third story. Three stories. Now that third, of course, is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, our scripture today. The second story, that was the story of Shrek, our movie for today. And the first story, that noble quest of living in a world filled with other people who can drive us a little to the point of frustration, well, you are that beautiful human. Each of us are that beautiful human. And if you will take a journey with me this morning, you will see that all of these stories intertwine and they converge around a phrase in Paul's letter when we are invited to speak the truth in love. This is a really powerful phrase, to speak the truth in love. You know, it's embodied many conversations throughout Christianity's history. Lots of good Christian people love to pull out the phrase, oh, I'm just speaking the truth in love. These are people who just would speak whatever was on their mind and then say, oh, no, that was in love. But speaking the truth in love, they were not. Turns out they were just being jerks and they were trying to use scripture to justify it. That happens a lot in the world. Or on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes we'd find folks who were trying so hard to be loving, they would never say anything true at all because they didn't want to risk anything that might be seen as difficult to say. Paul's writing on this subject doesn't come with an instruction manual. For all the things Paul loves to expound upon with word after word, he says, speak the truth in love, and doesn't really explain how to do it. So I thought it might be helpful to have a couple of examples of how not to do it. And thus we arrive in that second story with Shrek and Fiona. Now Shrek is an ogre. He is frustrated. He is cynical. He has been chased by pitchforks and torches on the regular, so I get why he feels that way. No judgment for this particular ogre. But what we find in his personality is someone who will speak truth very clearly. Oh, does Shrek speak truth very clearly, over and over to anyone, whether they want to or need to hear it or not. He speaks it almost painfully, the way he will shoot out a truthful barb at folks. In fact, it's very painful for some of the other characters. Shrek speaks his truth with a harshness, almost intentionally to weaponize his words. I think it's a part of his cynical shell. It's part of how he defends himself. Because if he can push people away, they can't hurt him. So he lashes out with these overly blunt observations. Now, as we journey through this fairy tale today, it might be tempting to immediately think of people in our lives who fit these descriptions, huh? Do you already have someone in mind? Is there an ogre in your life who's a little overly, maybe? That person who's overly direct, who doesn't consider how their words are going to affect other people, or thinks of it but just doesn't care? The challenge of today is not only to recognize that, yes, there are ogres in our lives. The challenge of today is also see how we, too, can have some ogre moments. We may not tromp through life constantly as an ogre all the time, but we all have ogre moments where the truth comes out in a way that might hurt more than we mean. Shrek embodies all truth and no love. Which is why there's such a laughable juxtaposition when he meets Princess Fiona. She is one who speaks with great love. Her words are filled with hopes and dreams and kindness, almost drippingly so. She will reinterpret any situation to try to fit it into the loving hopes and dreams she carries, even if that means ignoring or denying a difficult truth. In fact, Fiona carries a secret she cannot confront within herself, let alone tell anyone else about. Sometimes her loving disposition seems a disguise to hide the truth that she cannot confront, or at least counterbalance it. You see, where Shrek might be all truth and no love, Fiona seems to embody all love without wanting to accept the full truth. Maybe you know one of those people too. The ones who seem to live in a land far, far away so they don't have to confront the hard realities in their own lives or the lives of those around them. Denial abounds from the one who just cannot confront the truth of things or just doesn't want to have to see it in other people. If we think we don't have these moments ourselves, oh no, that's not a hard truth I have to confront. Well, that's just proving the point. Shrek and Fiona's journey is not to a castle and a prince. Shrek and Fiona's journey is a journey to find a place where they can balance both of these things, truth and love, in a healthier way. That Shrek might learn to live and speak his truth with love, and that Fiona might learn to live and share her love with truth. As opposite as these issues might seem, they do find a common source. You see, to begin the journey, each of them must look closely at their own lives and realize that they are not perfect. For Fiona, this means coming face to face with the ogre within, her problem that she has been ignoring, her imperfection that she carries and sees as a flaw. For Shrek, who would gladly tell you he's imperfect, he must start to care that he's imperfect and choose to grow from that place. Though speaking the truth in love is about how we engage and connect with others, speaking the truth with love starts within. We cannot speak the truth with love until we know our own truth and can love ourselves. In acknowledging our own imperfections and our worthiness to be loved in spite of them, we begin to grow the ability to see others' imperfections and love them in spite of them as well. We cannot love others until we learn to love ourselves the way God loves us. And loving ourselves includes acknowledging the places we need to grow. If we do not acknowledge those places and begin to put the work there, we risk a fairy tale-like denial that will trap us worse than a dragon-guarded castle. Coming to love ourselves as we are, coming to love ourselves as God loves us, is the place the journey begins. Our quest to make it through each day must begin there. For such love also shapes the truth that we will discover about ourselves. Such love will shape the truth that we need to share with others. You see, we're not speaking the truth if we mean it to hurt others. We do not speak the truth if we mean to push others into growing the way we expect them to. Speaking the truth in love is about acknowledging our own needs and feelings. It's about us, not them. I'm so grateful to Miss Jenny and Dwayne for having that conversation, right? I think about Dwayne and that frustration and that anger about being stuck in a room, and instead of saying, I'm tired of you and I don't want you here anymore, to instead step into that space of saying, let me tell you my needs. I need some space. That's truth, and it's love in a non-accusatory way so that it can be heard. Now, back to our movie. Throughout the relationship that develops between Shrek and Fiona, there are certainly moments that exemplify these kinds of exchanges. And, right, they get into it with each other. One is speaking too much truth, one is denying too much with love, and they get into it, and it gets them nowhere. Shrek's truth without love and Fiona's love without truth accomplish nothing. Nothing changes. In fact, the divides begin to grow. The misunderstandings abound and conflict reigns as they are at odds with one another. It's only when each of these two characters begin to lovingly speak from their truth, seeing themselves honestly and sharing it honestly, that they both begin to grow, and thus relationship begins to heal. Along their journey, they quit trying to speak at each other, and they begin to speak about their own needs and their true selves. When we speak about our truth in loving ways, we create space for others to hear it and receive it and respond to it. We create space for others to do the same. Now, no, it's not magic. And yes, there are some people along our journey who seem to never grow into the space we give them. Hey, look, I've created this space for you to do some self-reflection too. No matter how much we wish they will, they just don't seem to. But we can't change other people. The loving truth is, there is nothing we can say that will actually change someone else. Now, we can, if enough relationship exists, make them aware of something, but only they can change it. And if we make them aware in a way that causes them not to be defensive, that change becomes more likely. You see, no hard truth disguised with love is actually going to change another person. In fact, when we get too hard, when we get overly sharp with the truth and say that it's for love's sake, it often can create a deeper cynical shell around someone. It reinforces the ogre-like tendencies. So, instead, we are once again invited to reflect on who we are, that we might love ourselves as God loves us. And then once we are grounded in who we are, we can speak our truth. Not our opinion about others and how they need to change, but the truth about our needs. The truth about how their actions and choices are impacting us. The truth about how we're affected by the things that happen in the world around us. And we get to share this truth in places and relationships where it can be honored and respected. When that is true, that's where love lives. And in doing so, in choosing to share in that space and in that way, we're inviting others to do the same. To know themselves as loved. And to invite their own honest reflection. To invite them on a journey to discover who they are. To not just speak truth and love, but to live such love. For that's really our true quest. Our quest as human beings, you as a loving, beautiful human, it isn't just to try and make it through the day. Our true quest is to live and share the truth of God's love and grace for all people, knowing that even applies to us. Amen.